We now move into the area as regards inventor and grant of a patent. The applicant has now given his complete specifications and therefore in form number 8 has made a declaration that he should be enjoying the rights of an inventor and should be entered in the register by the controller as inventor. So this talks about inventorship, the grant of patent by the controller and the various legal formalities to be complied. Now we proceed with the inventor and his rights as regards inventorship. An inventor may, in form number 8, set out the various circumstances under which his claim is made and therefore request for being mentioned as the first inventor of the patent. Proceeding now to the grant of a patent. When the application for the patent is found in order and for the purposes of the grant of the patent, the application has not been refused by the controller or the application is not found to be in contravention, which means in violation of the provisions of the Act, the patent shall now be granted. For the purposes of granting of the patent, there are 5 important areas which I would just like to have you informed about. There is the patent being sealed before it is granted and it is made official in the public gazette. It is required to be sealed. Now, sealed is required for the purposes of maintaining secrecy so that it is not infringed further. So the seal of the patent office along with the date is recorded in the register. Once it is then recorded, all the public documents, the specification, as well as the various details are now in the public domain, which is now for public inspection. Supposing the applicant is deceased, the legal representatives are now entitled for the purposes of the grant of a patent. The patent is entered with a particular date. That date is very important for the purposes of making an entry in the register by the controller, because that date will be the date of the filing of the specifications, which will be the date as entered in the register. And finally, it is given a number so that for the purposes of identification, we are aware that every application shall have a number which is dated so that it is now meant for the purposes of granting a patent. Now, here, when we say conditions for a grant of patent, these are certain limitations whereby the patentee, that is the person to whom the patent is granted, will not be allowed in these areas to encroach, whereby his rights are sought to be taken away, they are surrendered. Which are these areas? The areas are: any machine, apparatus or other article made by using a process in respect of which the patent is granted may be imported or made by or on behalf for the government for its own use. So, wherever the government, either any public sector, it's a state or a central government body, and it requires any particular invention, it requires a particular machine, it requires a particular product or a substance, the patentee is required to have it surrendered unto the government. Any process in respect of which the patent is already granted may be used by the government for its own use. Any machine, apparatus or other article made by using a process, and any process in respect of which a patent is granted, may be made or used by any person for the purposes of experimentation. That is, obviously, when you're using them in any institution, you're using it for scientific research, you're using it for imparting instructions to students. Here, the question doesn't arise whereby the patentee's rights are deemed to be surrendered unto the institution concerned. In case of a patent in respect of any medicine or drug, the medicine or drug may be imported by the government for its own use, for any distribution in any dispensary, any hospital specified in this behalf by a notification in the official gazette. That is, supposing there is a drug for the purposes of curing cancer patients, for the purposes of any area as regards diabetes or any other disease. Can the government use this patent in the area of drugs, pharmaceuticals, when it comes to any dispensary which is financed or aided by the government? The answer is yes, my dear friends. In such a case, you will be rather concerned to even observe that consideration may or may not be paid by the government. So here are areas wherein, in the case of an exigency or an emergency, such a patent is required for the use of the government for any medicinal purpose or any area as far as institution or educational research is concerned. The patentee is required to surrender his rights under certain circumstances. Now we move to the rights of a patentee. Rights of a patentee. Now coming down to this area, this is a person who is enjoying the rights of inventorship and therefore has a right to enjoy the complete monopoly to sell, to lease or give it to anybody. And therefore, the usage of the manufacture of a new article or a new process is entirely in the hands of the patentee, preventing anybody else to infringe on his rights. Similarly, an assignee to whom it has been assigned or transferred under an exclusive licensing contract, the assignee also enjoys the same right. If any third party violates the rights of a patentee, he has a suit for infringement, which we will be looking down to very shortly when his monopoly rights are sought to be violated. So, these are some of the exclusive rights of a patentee. When patent rights are not infringed, that is, when is there not deemed to be a violation of a monopoly right of a patentee? We have a foreign vessel, we have a foreign aircraft, we have a foreign ship. It has come into the shores of India for a temporary purpose or accidentally. Now, inside that ship, that aircraft or that vessel, you have any apparatus or an equipment which is already patented. Is there an infringement? No, there is not deemed to be an infringement because it is importation into the internal machinery of a ship which has been imported and which is registered outside in a foreign country. So when it is already patented outside in our country and it is accidentally here, we don't see there is an infringement as far as the vessel or the aircraft is concerned, because the patented rights are not governed under the jurisdiction of the Patents Act in our country. Rights and obligations of co-owners. There may be two or more people having the ownership of an invention, and therefore these two are said to be co-owners. Now, when there are co-owners, each will have an equal right of proprietorship as far as the patented rights in that particular substance is concerned. However, when it comes to licensing, if I am to assign this right to anybody. Since we are two owners, I cannot assign without the consent of my co-owner. So therefore, when the ownership is there with two people, only when there is requirement of a license to be assigned to any other person, the consent of another co-owner is required. Now, coming down to the powers of the controller to give directions regarding to two co-owners. Now, A is a co-owner, B is a co-owner. A is wanting to sell or give a license or give it on hire to any purchaser. Can he do so? Yes. The controller allows, obviously, one of the co-owners to have any sale, lease or any kind of purchasing agreement wherein that purchaser will have only the sole right from that owner from whom he procured. So therefore, the directions as regards the sale, the lease or any kind of hiring will be done under the directions of the controller, who will give specific instructions as to how it has to be carried on further. The grant of patent to the true and first inventor when obtained in fraud by another. Now here is a very, very serious area whereby one person has obtained a patent by deceiving another person. Now, such a person is the first inventor who is already eligible, and another person has obtained a patent by deceiving him intentionally. Now, what does the controller do? The controller will reject the patent which has been obtained by fraud, wherein it may be either the complete specification or wherein even a part of the invention has been obtained by another person by fraudulent means. And supposing this person is having an application which is pending, the controller says it will now be transferred in the name of the new patentee and the earlier person who has obtained the patent by fraud, his application or the grant of the patent stands annulled and cancelled. The term of a patent. The term of a patent is normally 20 years. Now, from the date of filing, wherein the 20 years period will be calculated whenever the specification of the particulars regarding the patent is filed in the register, so that this is the term which shall be determined for the purposes of the duration of a patent. Now, after every year, there is a renewal fee which has to be paid, and if it is not renewed, obviously it lapses. Coming down to a patent of addition, as we have already seen, it is an improvement or a modification over the main invention. And therefore, what are the particulars regarding the term of the patent of addition will now be looked into. A patent of addition shall be granted for a term which is equal to that of the patent for the main invention. So, whatever is the term or the duration of time that we have taken for the first patent, wherein it is a period of 20 years, and wherein that much of the time that is not expired will be taken into consideration for the purposes of a patent of addition. If the patent for the main invention is revoked, which means it is withdrawn for some reasons, either it is fraudulent, either the report of the examiner has been unfavorable, or on grounds of legality, there has been a non-compliance, or it is an invention which is not patentable on any of these grounds, the patent of addition now becomes an independent patent for the remainder of the term for the main invention. However, no renewal fees is required to be paid. When a patent of addition is granted under Section 54 of the Patents Act 1970, a patent of addition is the patent for the improvement or modification, as I've already stated earlier, of the main invention which is described or disclosed in the complete specification. So wherever there is an improvement. Now friends, you will have to understand this. Now when we say addition, we mean any kind of an improvement. We mean any kind of a technical advancement of matters which are already disclosed. Now it doesn't mean any additional matters which are not disclosed in the complete specification is now to be declared. No, it is here an alteration or an improvement or a modification of the original invention for which the patent is already granted. So therefore, this is nothing but a technical improvement over a period of time for which an application is sought to be submitted to the controller, which is called as a patent of addition. An improvement in order to be patentable, however, you are already aware, must satisfy independently the test of invention. Now, what is the test of invention? You are, I'm sure, aware. It is a new process. It is a new method. It is any kind of a substance that could be manufactured by such a process, or any improvement over existing substances by a new methodology, which is a technical advancement, which is allowed to be patented. And therefore, once this test is satisfied, then it is now termed as a patent of addition. Finally, we come down to the validity of a patent of addition. The validity of a patent of addition shall not be questioned on the ground that the invention ought to have been the subject of an independent patent. So here, any kind of a patent of addition, whether it is valid or invalid, will not be questioned in any court of law, because the presumption is it is one which is patentable and therefore stands to be an independent patent by itself. Thank you very much, my friends. We have now had an insight into the grant of the patent and the rights of inventorship, which is submitted by the inventor in form number 8, which is sealed, dated, and now entered in the register, which allows him all the rights as an authentic, genuine inventor.